Well, it's possible that some people will think I'm being just a little bit disingenuous on this Sunday closest to Remembrance Day when I talk about, well, about remembering and talk about Remembrance Day when I make a point of not talking about Mother's Day and Father's Day because they're not in the lectionary. Although I have said that if there was something in there on those Sundays, I would probably do my best. And as I was thinking about this Sunday, I realized that there was something that connects with remembering, and that's where the sermon title comes from, just the simple word remember. There's something special about remembering, like I was talking to Emmy in the children's moment. Memory is one of those things that ties us to the past, and ties us to the past in ways that really nothing else does. And so we do things to remind us of what's gone before. We wear poppies at some time of the year. We have all kinds of symbols that remind us of other things that in and of themselves aren't much, but when we bring all that we have to them, they speak so much to us. A poppy, a Christmas tree, a flag, a cross. And we remember these things. One of the things that's interesting about memory is that when the word is sort of popped towards us, just remember, for me, and I don't know if this is just for me or for everyone, but if I'm triggered by the word remember or memory, just to think of things that I remember, I tend to go to things from when I was really small. And I'm not sure why. And I wonder if it's because that's when I was learning the most things, because, well, I knew the least. Although, some days I wonder if I've actually learned all that much. Some days I think I've barely learned anything at all. But we remember things that when we were little, because they were so significant. We remember things that are important to us, that changed us. Well, what's interesting is that this week, coming up, many of us will take the opportunity to go to some place with many other people, and we will remember together. What makes it curious is that for many of us, we're going to go remember something that happened before we were born. Not all of us, of course. Many people here remember World War II. Remember Korea. For me, my memories of wars begin with Vietnam. It wasn't really our war, but certainly took over our airwaves. And then all those conflicts subsequent to that, whether they were the peacekeeping in Cyprus or Desert Storm, whatever it is, I remember those. But when I remember on Remembrance Day, I'm not remembering those first. I'm remembering World War II first. Then I remember World War I, which I really wasn't at, and hardly anybody here remembers World War I. How is that possible? How do we remember things that we didn't live through? We remember them through the stories of others. This morning it was read for us the story of a widow. I remember this widow, not because I was there, although in these very few sentences it's vividly portrayed. I can place myself there, but we remember this widow. We remember the story of Ruth and Naomi and that commitment to each other that they had. Remembering isn't just what we've lived through, because our memories aren't just what we've experienced. Through the wonders of great storytellers, it's as if we've been many places that we've never been. The story of the widows sticks with us for all kinds of reasons. It sticks with us, I think, because we can see ourselves in different places, and it's easy for us to imagine ourselves being there with Jesus, watching the money going into the treasury, watching the people come forward. And sometimes I put myself in the place of other people in the story. These days, particularly with this beard, it's very easy for me to put myself in the place of these guys dumping in the large sums. But even without the beard, that's more been my experience. When I put money in an offering plate, when I give to the poor, whether it's just out of my pocket to someone who asks me on the street or wherever it is, I'm one of those people giving out of wealth. Hard for me to put myself into the position of the widow, giving all I have. But she's the one I remember from this story. She's the one who gives me encouragement to give. And she's the one that Jesus says, that's the one who really knows what it means to give. And on this Sunday, the Sunday closest to Remembrance Day, we remember others who know what it meant to give. Conscription notwithstanding, you could have gotten out of serving in the Second World War and in other wars. You could have just run away, hidden, get you in trouble later. But if you really didn't want to go, you could have done that. No matter what the movies will tell you, it's not that easy to pretend you're crazy. But you, if you worked hard enough at it, you could have pretended you were crazy enough that you wouldn't get sent. Or injure yourself, which some people did. Those people who went didn't have to go. But they did anyway. The widow was under no compulsion, no external compulsion, to give her two tiny coins worth a fraction of an hour's pay. There was nobody who said, you must do this. She did it because she believed in what she was doing. She gave because she loved the Lord her God with all her heart, soul, and mind. She loved her neighbor as herself, as we've spoken about just last week. And those people who went to serve in the military in wars that they didn't choose and didn't want to do, did it because that was what they were supposed to do. That's what they were called to do. And we remember them. And when I think of those who went, the first name that comes to my mind always is David Marshall. A person that many of you knew, he was a pillar of the church at First Presbyterian, was engaged with the church community there and the larger church community, as well as the people of Regina. Wonderful man. Died not that terribly long ago. But he served. He was of that age that he went when the call came. And he told me all kinds of stories. When I asked, he didn't volunteer them a lot, but when I asked, he'd tell them. And one of the stories that sticks with me the most is one that happened years later. There was a celebration in Holland marking the liberation of Holland, and he went because that was where he served. He was in the tank corps in the Canadian Army, and he served in Holland. And so he went over as part of the celebrations, and he found it fascinating that people would come up to him and they would ask, you know, are you here for the celebrations? Did you serve? And he would say yes. They said, well, what was your unit? And he would tell them, and then they would tell him what had happened, what they'd done, and what towns they'd gone through and all of that. And he said it was wonderful to hear that, but the most extraordinary thing was that he heard it from children. These people hadn't lived through that. They were too young. It was their parents or their grandparents who had lived through that, who had told them about David's unit. And they remembered. And they remembered what he'd done with gratitude. And they said, thank you. Even though they weren't there to experience it, they remembered it anyway. How does that work? It works because that's what we do with those people that are an example to us, who provide the encouragement and all that we need to continue moving forward in whatever it is that we've been called to do. When I was younger and more pretentious than I am now. More pompous, too. Let's not kid ourselves. I was an obnoxious person in many ways when I was younger. And I went through this spell where around Remembrance Day, I specifically did not wear a poppy. And people would ask, and they'd say, well, why don't you wear a poppy? And so, well, you wear a poppy to remember. Is that correct? And they'd say, yes. I said, well, I don't wear one because I never forget. And I didn't. My middle name is Alan. Named after my Uncle Alan, who died in 1944 in Italy, doing his part. Another Canadian who spent more time in a tank than he wanted to. He never came back. I never had a chance to meet him. He died in 1944. How could I meet him? But I was named after him. My middle name was specifically named after him. And so I heard stories about him, what he was like before he went. Didn't hear much about what he did when he was over there because, you know, there was no internet, there was no Skype. We didn't really know a lot back then. My dad didn't know a lot of what he did. He just knew how it ended. But I knew and know quite a lot about my Uncle Alan, a man I never met. A man I, in some ways, wish I was a bit more like. So for me, every time I saw my driver's license, I remembered. Every time I saw anything that had my middle name on it. Every time I signed my name, which has my middle initial in the middle of that blob that I call a signature, I thought of that. And when I said I didn't have to remember because I never forgot, I wasn't just being irritating, it was true. That knowledge of him and his sacrifice, his willingness to go, his willingness to submit to the civil authorities that said you need to go over and do things that you wouldn't do under any other circumstances, it's an example to me. And when I think of all those people I know who served, most of whom are no longer with us, I think of David, Bill, and Fred. I think of lots of things. But perhaps mostly I think of the kinds of responses they gave when I asked them, as I did, why did you go? Was it the glory? Was it the excitement? Was it peer pressure? What was it? And the answer was always because that's what needed to be done. Not going because they wanted people to look up to them. Not going because they wanted people to ask them 30, 40, 50 years later what they'd done and then recite that story back to them before they could even answer it. No, they went because that was God's call upon them as they understood it. Christians and war is a tricky thing. We've been arguing and fighting over this, no pun intended, since Augustine in the 400s. We don't really know all that's going on there, but we do know that fine Christian people have seen that as a call upon them that they have responded to. And their willingness to do what they would never choose to do is an example to us of discipline. And for many, of sacrifice. Because when people sign up to go to war, they hardly ever have any illusions. Most of them wound up their affairs when they left just in case they never came back because that was a possibility, and yet they went anyway. What do you think was going through that widow's mind when she put in everything she had to live on? Was her sacrifice so different than those who willingly served? I don't think so. Because when you're willing to give everything, what else is left? And that's what she did. And we who are thousands of years removed from her remember her this morning. And we remember her and we honor her memory. And we look at her example and say, I would like to be more like her than those rich guys with fine robes throwing in whatever they thought they could, whatever they felt like. When we remember, we have many choices about what it is that we will remember. We can remember what's been gone wrong in our lives, and all of us have much. We can remember just what's gone well in our lives, because all of us have much of that too. But if we choose to, we can remember the example of other people who have lived lives that we would like to be more like. Whether they're veterans who put themselves between us and war's desolation, because that's what needed to be done, or whether it's a widow who, because of her trust in God, was willing to put everything she had towards the work of God. Those that we choose to remember can change who we are today and make us better people than we would be otherwise. I'm a better man because I knew David Marshall. I'm a better man because of my middle name. But I wouldn't be if I forgot them. If I chose not to remember them. If I said, these are unpleasant things. I don't want to think about war. I don't want to think about poverty and about widows and what they have to go through. I just want to think about nice things. If I make that choice, I'm going to miss out on all the opportunities to say, these are the people I want to be like. These are the people who challenge me to be more than just what's convenient. These are the people who challenge me to follow God with everything I have. I don't like remembering loss, but I'm not willing to give up what it'll cost me to forget these people. So this week, as you spend your time, however that is, whether you go and join with other people or take a moment or two on your own to remember, take from those memories and those memories of stories the encouragement and the example that can make us into the people we're being called to be even now. Because the call that others had might have been more dramatic, to go to war, to give all. But our call is no less authentic, and our call comes from the same God, now and forever, who calls his people to become the people that he created them to be. Amen.